Hi, this is Anne Merchant, and welcome to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academy of Sciences, the National Academy of Engineering, the Institute of Medicine, and the National Research Council, collectively known as the National Academies. Throughout history, people have sought to reduce our vulnerability to the hardships and dangers of life. We have given up the wandering habits of our ancestors to settle in groups and cultivate the land to ensure a regular supply of food. We've built shelters to guard us from the weather and have crafted weapons to defend ourselves against predators. We've also tried to protect ourselves from a threat that's not always visible, but is often deadly, and that is disease. History is littered with examples of lethal diseases that strike and spread rapidly. Cholera, smallpox, polio, and influenza outbreaks have sickened, disabled, or killed hundreds of millions of people. The outbreak of the bubonic plague during the 14th century killed 25 to 50% of all people in Europe, the Middle East, China, and North Africa. Infectious diseases and those caused by parasites or malnutrition are not the only challenges to health we've faced. The ancients recognized epilepsy and called it the sacred disease, believing that the seizures of epileptics were caused by gods or by demons. Cancer, too, was known and feared by our ancestors, who attempted to heal these diseases with remedies both natural and magical. Eventually, doctors and scientists turned to the study of animals to help them understand the mysteries of anatomy and the riddles of disease. The lives of humans and animals have been intertwined since the beginning of civilization. We know, for example, that early humans learned to raise animals for food, but they also lived alongside them as companions. Today, human and animals continue to interact and bond. It is because of our continuing close ties with animals that many people, including scientists, have mixed feelings about the use of animals in biomedical research. In an ideal world, scientists would never need to use animals as research subjects. But as we all know, we don't live in an ideal world, and so some difficult ethical and moral questions inevitably arise. Public opinion polls have consistently shown that a majority of people approve of the use of animals in biomedical research, so long as that research doesn't cause pain to the animal and leads to new treatments and cures. But what about when that research is painful, even if it leads to new and better treatments like anesthetics or painkillers? Or what if new treatments or cures might not be apparent for decades, if ever? Some people claim that it's unnecessary for animals to be used as research subjects, and that computer or other non-animal models could be used instead. In some cases, this is true, and scientists strive to use computer models and other non-animal models whenever possible. But the interaction that occurs between molecules, cells, tissues, organs, organisms, and the environment are often too complex for even the most sophisticated of computers to model. Indeed, it is impossible to advance biomedical science without the use of animal subjects for some aspects of research. Even though animals differ from people in many ways, they are also very similar. Animals develop many of the same diseases as people, including hemophilia, diabetes, and epilepsy. Animals are also susceptible to many of the same bacteria and viruses as people, such as anthrax, smallpox, and malaria. Humans have 65 infectious diseases in common with dogs, 50 with cattle, 46 with sheep and goats, 42 with pigs, 35 with horses, and 26 with fowl. We have lived with and among these animals for thousands of years, so it's not especially surprising that we're susceptible to some of the same parasites, viruses, and bacteria, including some that can be transmitted between animals and people, such as rabies and malaria. Nor is it surprising that many chronic, non-infectious diseases, such as epilepsy, also afflict other species. The parallels between human and animal physiology and pathology were noted long ago, and the practice that we today call animal research has roots stretching back to ancient Egypt and Greece. While animal research has helped to develop drugs and vaccines to control and cure a number of infectious diseases, many surgical procedures were and continue to be developed through the use of animal models. Organ transplantation, open-heart surgery, and many other common procedures were developed using animal models. Animal studies have also contributed to the development of a drug that has been described by some as the vanguard in a new generation of cancer drugs. Gleevec, a chemotherapy that works by inhibiting a protein that contributes to cancer cell growth, is the first effective treatment for people with chronic myeloid leukemia. Gleevec was developed using cell cultures and mouse studies. Animal research is also important in basic research, which helps us understand the function of newly discovered molecules and cells, strange phenomena, or little understood processes. In spite of the fact that there may be no obvious value when the experiments are performed, many times this new knowledge leads to breakthrough methods and treatments years or decades later. The discovery of DNA, for example, is now leading to cancer treatments, and our growing understanding of neurotransmitters is helping us to create medications that treat depression and seizures. Laboratory animals are not only crucial in our understanding of diseases, they're also essential in evaluating the safety of food additives, household products, workplace chemicals, cosmetics, and many other substances. In 1933, more than a dozen women were blinded, and one woman died from using a permanent mascara called Lash Lure, which contained an untested chemical that caused horrific blisters, abscesses, and ulcers on the face, eyelids, and eyes. Several years later, a drug company in Tennessee decided to develop a liquid form of sulfa drug, an antibacterial, that would appeal to children. The drug company took a well-tested sulfa drug, mixed it with a sweet-tasting liquid that children would like, and sold it as elixir sulfanilamide. Unfortunately, the drug company did not test the safety of their elixir before putting it on store shelves. And that pleasant-tasting liquid contained ethanol glycol, a sweet-tasting poison that's the main ingredient in antifreeze. Elixir sulfanilamide killed 107 people, mostly children, before it was pulled from store shelves. These tragedies led to the passage of the Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act of 1938, which requires manufacturers and drug companies to prove to the FDA that their products are safe before they can be sold to the public. For many years, the only way to test the safety of products was on animals. But during the 1980s, many alternative safety tests were developed, reducing the number of animals used for cosmetic testing by 90%. There are still some products, like sunscreen and anti-acne creams, that contain ingredients that cause a chemical change in the body that could potentially be harmful. Without the use of animal testing, it would be impossible to ensure that these products are safe for use by humans. We live in a world fraught with the possibility of danger. People's lives are threatened by bioterrorism, emerging diseases such as AIDS, Ebola, and West Nile, and other still uncured diseases like malaria, which kills more people each year than AIDS, and for which no effective vaccine has yet been developed. Chronic diseases like hypertension, diabetes, and depression, which are debilitating and emotionally devastating for patients and their families, comprise another important area of study. Epilepsy, a neurological condition that most often appears in late childhood or early adolescence, continues to wreak havoc on the lives of millions of Americans. And currently available medications only partially control seizures while causing serious side effects. Finally, scientific understanding of the way that genes, environment, and behavior interact to create diseases like cancer, obesity, and drug addiction remains inadequate, as does current treatment, which often falls far short of a cure. Biomedical research has changed a great deal during the past 50 years, as have public attitudes toward the use of animals in science. While polls confirm that the public continues to support biomedical research using animals, those same polls also reveal that continued public support is dependent on high standards of animal care. People uniformly want confirmation that scientists, veterinarians, and other members of the laboratory team are taking seriously their obligation to provide the best possible care for laboratory animals. Moreover, it's increasingly evident that the better the care provided to lab animals, the more certain investigators can be that pain or distress will not affect their research data. This principle leads to more accurate research. High standards of animal care are not solely a concern of animal welfare advocates. They are a primary concern of all research scientists, veterinarians, and other members of the laboratory team. Science, Medicine, and Animals, as well as the downloadable Teacher's Guide, are available to read free online at nap.edu. My name is Anne Merchant, and you've been listening to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academies, advisors to the nation on science, engineering, and medicine. Be sure to visit us at our website at nationalacademies.org, where we have more than 3,000 books and publications available full text to read free online.